following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hi, how's it going, Refuge family? Welcome to another edition of our Refuge Daily, today being Friday, of course. So welcome to anybody that is joining us right now. This week, the theme that the pastors and the different staff have been talking about has been the love of God, or the overwhelming love of God, and how to encounter that love of God, or maybe share a moment or share a time when we have encountered God's love. And so before I go into one of those encounters where, for lack of a better term, I felt God dismantle me in the best way possible, and I saw him for who he was, I just want to share in scripture moments where I read and I get reminded of how much God loves us, how deep that love goes, just like that hymn, how deep the Father's love for us. And so even this morning, I've said, and I think I've shared with you guys, that I have been in my devotions. I've been in the book of Exodus, and I'm slowly trucking through that book right now. And I'm also in the book of Mark. And so this morning, I was in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm in chapter 14. And really, that entire chapter, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's like the timetable just sped up, and now you're seeing Jesus, and he's in the garden, he's getting betrayed. And so this is one of those, the account when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what it says. It's Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 42, because I want to kind of give a little bit of context here. It says this: "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" Verse 37, "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Simon,' he said to Peter, 'are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" We know how the story ends, right? He gets betrayed by Judas. Jesus goes through an excruciating process of being mocked, of being spat, hit, struck in the face, crown of thorns, beat, whipped, crucified, in the grave, resurrection, hope, right? Salvation for us. I read this morning, and I was actually talking to Bill and some of the other pastors on staff here. And I was telling them, you know, it's so awesome and so crazy that we can read God's word. And maybe some of you, if you're good Bible students, right, you'll open up the Gospel of Mark, we'll say, since we're in it right now, and you'll look back and you've already highlighted some stuff, right? And so this morning I looked back at some of the things I'd previously highlighted, and there's moments where you're like, why didn't I highlight the verse after that? Man, this is gold right here. And so this morning, as I was reading, I really keyed in on verse 33 and 34 in the very beginning, where it says, "He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and Jesus, Savior, God, fully man," it says, "he began to be deeply distressed and troubled." And then verse 34 goes on and says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Now, I looked up many different commentaries. There is such a deep heaviness that is being felt by Jesus in his in his humanity. That's the word I'm looking for. He felt the weight of that whole situation. Jesus knew what was going to happen, right? And he was willing to go through it. And even what we read, he's in the garden, he's talking to his dad, his father, and he's saying, God, if there is any other way, let this pass from me, please. But not my will, your will. So we see Jesus even submitting to the will of his father, right? But I started thinking, I'm like, man, you know, I think it's in Hebrews where it says that God can sympathize. He can sympathize with us. He can empathize with where we're at because God, he went through what we went through and even more so, yet remained sinless, right? So God can understand where we're at, whether it's distress or sorrow. But Jesus is taking on some of the heaviest sorrow and burden imaginable, and we still can't even imagine it. And it got me thinking, like, he did all of this in submission to his father, but also he did it for you and he did it for me because he realized if he hadn't have done this, there is no salvation for any of us, right? It reminded me of in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here's the part here. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured it, scorning its shame, despising it. He did not like it, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. It blows my mind to think that it says that God, for the joy that was set before him, and that's multiple layers, for the joy that was set before him, for the salvation that he was going to achieve for many, for any that would come to believe in him, for the joy that was set before him of being obedient to the will of his father, right? But he endures this. And he could have, as God, snapped his fingers, right, and shut off all the pain, receptors, and he didn't have to feel any of it, but he decided in his love, in his humanity, he decided to feel all of it. Not just the physical, but the mental stress. He chose to do that. Why? Why on earth would he do that? Because he loves us. Because now me, I'm 30 years old, and there are times where I still struggle with depression or anxiety, things like that, where I can call out to my God, my Savior, full well knowing that he understands. I might have many people that I talk to, maybe they don't understand, but you know what? God does. Not cliche, but like God truly understands. He knows it. Psalm 139 says, before there's even a word on my tongue, God knows it altogether. God's love is insane. And I feel like for us, as we're talking about, you know, encountering God's overwhelming love, it's moments like this where I read in scripture and go, God did not have to do it that way, but he did. He could have done it in any way. I mean, he could have just started over. He could have just been like, you know what? You sinned. You're out, bro. You're done, right? But he didn't, right? God so loved the world that he would send his sinless son, righteous, perfect, to die for us. Jesus becoming sin, that we may become the very righteousness of God, that we may be accepted on the behalf of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. That is amazing love. Right? I want to close with this. Romans 5:8, and this is what I love. It says that God demonstrates his own love, right? He demonstrates, he puts it on display for everybody to see in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love it because it says you, it says me. We were sinners. We were enemies of God, not on God's team, right? Enemies, at opposition with God, not reconciled to God. And it was in that moment that God looked at you and he looked at me, and for no other reason than just supreme love, God says, I love them. I'm going to prove it. Not that I need to, but I'm going to prove it once and for all. And I'm going to die for them while they are at their absolute worst. completely helpless. I'm going to die for them. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I tell youth this all the time. You know, there's crazy statistics that talk about, and I think this is a lifelong struggle for many of us, actually. But Scripture speaks so much to our identity, who we are in Christ. And if the enemy can trip you up in that, he can trip you up in your entire walk. He can make you feel like you are defined by that sin that you did 10 years ago, when the reality of the cross says you are not defined by that sin, but you're defined by what Jesus did on the cross, conquering that sin. I tell my students all the time, right? You are not defined by the things you have done. You are defined by what Jesus has done on your behalf. That is the amazing reality. And I say, whenever you question, do I have worth? Whenever you question, am I lovable? Am I even likable? You know what I mean? We've had those moments. Does anybody even like me? You know? You look to the cross. You look to the cross where Jesus settled that. Done. It's been settled. God loves you. I say this every time I do this, but I'm blown away with the love of God when Psalm 139 says that he knows my thoughts and he knows the words that I don't say, that I hold back, but he knows I want to say them at times, right? And that God that knows every terrible thought, every horrible thought, every elitist thought, every sinful and perverted thought, the God who knows my intentions when they're both good and bad, the God that knows every insecurity that I have, that God loves me. That God loves you. I mean, man, if that's not overwhelming love, if that's not amazing grace, then I don't know what is. My encouragement for you guys, regardless of where you find yourself today, I pray that you would look deep into Scripture. I pray that you would understand that your God loves you far more than you will ever comprehend. I was praying with my high schoolers on Wednesday. And I was saying, I can't wait to be able to see God face to face. We teach about grace and love and mercy and the forgiveness and salvation. And I believe all those things and have experienced all those things, but I barely have even scratched the surface of what it all means. And one day when I'm face to face with God, I'm going to see him for who he is in the depth of that grace and that mercy and that love is going to overwhelm me in the best way possible. But while I'm here on earth, I want to scratch away and peel back as many layers as I can. And I want to just ingest and just be involved and just be saturated with as much of this love and grace and mercy as I can. So family, be encouraged. Your God loves you far more than you dare to imagine or dare to believe. And that is amazing, amazing, amazing. Overwhelming love. Love you guys. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life